In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. There are a multitude of things that go on the Trinity block every day. Sometimes I kind of think of it as a three-ringed or maybe 20-ringed circus. 20 because there are 15 grade levels at the school, and the church counts for at least five rings with its formation activities, pastoral care, Trinity loaves and fishes, TEEP, the many religious services each week from funerals to weddings to our weekly gatherings here. Dozens of simultaneous ministries, over 500 people coming and going, some here every day, some here once a week, some just visiting. It's exhilarating and stressful, complicated and joyful. Yesterday was a great example. Saturday, right? No school, so simple, right? Not so much. The place was a swarm with activity. First, we had the monthly yoga mass, that truly inspiring blend of spirituality and peace, worship and stretching. Usually this takes place here in the church, but yesterday we also had the granddaddy of all weddings, which set up as early as 9 a.m. with sound technicians and florists and nearly a dozen wedding organizers flown down from New York City to make sure everything was just so. So yoga mass graciously moved down the hall. But that wasn't all. On the school side, this is enrollment season, as parents are discerning the right school environment next fall for their little ones. And so yesterday was what we call the preschool play date, where prospective students come and spend an hour in our pink house classrooms, interacting with the teachers and one another to help us get a sense of each child's profile as we seek to enroll the school. Meanwhile, the parents of the visiting children met with me and our Director of Enrollment Management, Sheldon Schmidt, and a panel of teachers, current parents, alumni, and current students down in the chapel for us to talk about what it means to be part of the Trinity School community. Buzz, buzz, buzz. As the parent meeting was breaking up at about 11 a.m. and the campus was in full swing, something wonderful happened. It's quite similar to what happens in here every morning in the 10:30 service right before communion. The children come in. In the case yesterday, we were talking with the parents about high school placement and the independence of fourth graders and even the possibility of boarding school. The mood was serious and purposeful, pensive about the future and what path lies ahead, when suddenly, from the back of the chapel, came an excited shout, "Mommy!" And in rushed a breathless four-year-old with a pack of boisterous other boys and girls behind her. From my position in the front of the room, I could see the faces of the parents as they heard the commotion and began to turn to receive their child. And the light in their faces was brilliant. Each person there was instantly transformed from a serious adult pondering weighty decisions and tuition payments and the uncertainty of the future to the loving parent, transported by the excitement of their precious child, swept up in the moment as each one showed off the tiny bear they'd been given and talked nonstop about the games they played and the friends they'd made and just radiated that unbridled joy that only a four-year-old who's had an exciting new experience can show. There's something about small children, babies and toddlers and even preschoolers that can penetrate our deepest distraction, our most serious worries, our intangible fears, and bring us joy just by their presence. Muscular men with calloused hands become gentle as pillows when they hold an infant. Potent people with gruff voices adopt a falsetto and coo to an infant. Oh, you coo. I've spent my career with children, and I have come to believe that the reason we are so moved by them is because of their ability to model for us uncomplicated joy, because they represent for us the unlimited possibilities of the future, because they embody hope. All of which are captured in our moving story from Luke today, when the baby Jesus, just 40 days old, is brought by his parents to their version of Trinity, to the temple in Jerusalem, for the rites of presentation and purification. And two grandparent types, Simeon and Anna, are transformed by the joy this represents. In the Anglican tradition, today is called Candlemas, assigned to February 2nd, 40 days. Candlemas is a major feast day that does not often fall on a Sunday, but it's the day we celebrate Jesus' presentation in the temple, celebrated in various traditions around the world with the blessing and lighting of candles, symbolizing Jesus Christ as the light of the world. In some cultures, it's also considered a marker for the midpoint of winter, halfway between the spring shortest day and the spring equinox. Candlemas is a time for reflection, renewal, and the celebration of light in the dark winter months. If you take a look at the fourth window for me, the third window there on the church, you'll see a beautiful depiction of this event and see, like I did in chapel yesterday, the light in the faces of the adults as they focus on the child they've been waiting for their whole lives. The light of the world has finally come, an arrival that forecasts a future not without complexity and even some sorrow, but ultimately a future of deepest joy. Of the two, between Simeon and Anna, Simeon has the better press agent. We have the song of Simeon that we heard today that's placed into the Episcopal prayer book in the service for Compline, the daily office that's said at sunset as the day concludes. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised, for these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of the people Israel. There is perhaps no prayer of more optimism, more satisfaction, more trust in God's plan. The word Compline itself comes from the Latin for completion. And there is in this simple service, as there is in Simeon's prayer, the recognition of something accomplished, something fulfilled as another day concludes. When Simeon says he's been dismissed in peace, it means his task is complete. His vigil is over. Salvation has come. But in our window, it's Anna whose face shines the brightest. This is the widow of 84 years who's never left the temple, worshiping with prayer and fasting, night and day. I've mentioned before how in Jesus' time and culture, widows were particularly disempowered, particularly vulnerable. For this old woman who was married only 7 years and who has no children that we know of, nearly all of Anna's adult life has been focused on the waiting, on the expectation of the miracle that is to come. Simeon had gotten a promise from the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Anna's faith is more inspiring because her confidence in the coming of Jesus was entirely her own. It all comes back to hope. It all comes back to the faith that God is in every situation, every person. It all comes back to the potential we can see and revel in so easily in young children, but which we sometimes need to be reminded resides in every human, every child of God, resides in each one of us. It was 13 years ago, almost to the day, that I was ordained a priest when I was the chaplain of an Episcopal elementary school in Delaware, a bit like Trinity. But unlike this school, that school had no chapel, no church. We held our services in the gym, and my ordination to the priesthood took place at Center Court. Pretty appropriate for my ministry with children that's now spanned over 3 decades. But among the many things I'll never forget from my ordination is a chorus of cherub-like first to fourth graders singing, "This little light of mine," with their little fingers raised and the glow on their faces and the presence of God all of us felt, inflamed by the Holy Spirit, vividly aware of the potential in each of us, inspired by Christ, a potential with no limits. And the name of that school in Delaware? St. Anne's, Anne, the grandmother of Jesus. My friend Andy's departure from Trinity is hard for me and for many of us on many levels, but we're called, like Simeon and Anna, to trust in the unfolding of God's kingdom, to recognize Christ in our midst, come what may. No matter how busy or scary or loud or uncertain things get in your world, never doubt the message of Candlemas. God is with us always. There's a light that burns within each one of us, whether we're 4 or 94, because we are all God's beloved child. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't let anyone blow it out, for it's the light of Christ, light of love, a light that no amount of darkness will ever overcome. God delights in you. Let your light shine, light to the nations and to the glory of people everywhere. Amen.